Go ahead and get your Bibles open to Isaiah chapter 7. Isaiah chapter 7. And the title of the message tonight is, He's With Us. Now, you know, we just celebrated Christmas, and we just came through that time where we celebrate the birth of our Savior, and it's a wonderful time of year, and we praise God for it. Amen? Christmas is a wonderful time. I love it. I love just the whole season. And how everybody seems to be just a little nicer, for the most part. You know, you run into those that aren't so nice. Yesterday, I was at the post office, and I had met with a brother and talked the word with him for a while. And anyway, I was going into the post office. I came back out, and I looked, and my car's parked there, and a guy had pulled up next to me. And I walked up, and I thought, I'm seeing things. Now look, he's got his mail stacked on my hood. How many of y'all like that? So I walked up, and I'm like, I looked, and I'm Dan, you're a Christian, remember, but this is your property, and if he scratches it, is he going to pay for it? You know, and I'm like, so I walked up, and I looked at him, he turns around and looks at me. And I look down at the mail, and I look back at him, and he goes, you got a problem? And I said, absolutely, I do. Your mail's on my car. Get it off. I tried to be nice, you know. And I'm thinking, I'm like, you know, I have talked about divine setups, and I've also talked about satanic setups. And I felt like that was a setup. She's got some stuff in her pockets here. Thank you, dear. Gosh, I'll put it over here. Can you get that on the camera then? You can, right? Okay, he's good. So anyway, I thought, do I have a problem? I think your problem is your mama never taught you any good sense, is what, and this guy was at least 50 years old, maybe 45. Do I have a problem? Yeah, I thought, Dan, now you're right out. I mean, front row at the post office, people coming and going. I'm like, you know, I'm not going to. I think he could tell by the tone of my voice, I was very quiet. You know, you can be forceful and not raise your voice. You know what I'm saying? You can feel it, right? Oh, come on. You guys are all like, I would never say anything. I'm a little picky about some things, and you know what? You don't put your mail on someone else's car. You don't stack it on their hood. Amen? Since we have members who own a body shop right here, and I know what it costs to have things repaired and all that, you know, I'm like, so, okay. So I get in the car, and I back out, and I look, and he has a certain church sticker on the back of his car, and I thought, oh, gosh. I just thought, you know, this is supposed to be a brother in Christ, and I'm a brother in Christ, and I'm like, okay, let's just let it go. Let it go. Everybody's going to be nice, and so I was, but don't put your mail on my car. Amen. Okay. He was sorting it out. Yeah, oh, Larry. Oh, Larry, Larry, Larry. Thank you, Larry. I missed you Sunday, but I missed that kind of stuff on Sunday, you know? Yeah, praise God. All right, Isaiah chapter 7, let's go. He's with us, and he's always there. He already said in his word he'd never leave you. So don't be caught praying, oh, God, be with me. I mean, listen to me. Be very careful of that. Do not default to that prayer. Do you hear me? That is unbelief. That is denying the fact that he already told you, I'll never leave you. I will never forsake you. Oh, please be with me. Be with us on this trip. Huh? You ever pray that? I'll bet you have. You're a betting man? Well, no, really I'm not. But I would say, because I had prayed that before I found out. And after you read the word and you go, now wait a minute, he told me he's not going to leave me. I know that sounds like a minor point. But you don't want to open the door, even a crack, for the enemy to slip in. A snake doesn't need much to get in through a door. I mean, it can be tied on the side and have about that much room, and a snake bigger than that can get through that spot. Do you know that that's true? A mouse can do the same, right? So don't even open it a crack. You know, it's like, oh, God, be with us. And now you're going on your trip. And you're really not in faith. You're really in unbelief. Oh, that's just being picky. No, that's being scriptural. And we need to be scriptural. The enemy is a legalist. He is legalistic, and he will take you at exactly what you say. So please, pay attention to what you say, okay? Isaiah chapter 7, look at verse number 14. Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. I love that. I mean, that's a verse that, you know, whenever Christmas rolls around, this is the verse concerning the a virgin that would conceive, that is Mary, who never knew a man, conceived, and she said, be it done unto me according to your word, and she became impregnated from on high without a man. God placed the baby in her womb. I think that's outstanding. I think it's outstanding. And he followed natural law. Because, I mean, the miracle went above and beyond natural law, but he did follow the fact that, I mean, he didn't put a nine-month-old baby ready to be delivered inside her womb and expedite the whole process. Boom. Think about it. That'd be pretty much a shock. I mean, you ladies that have had babies before, you know, you're like, I mean, you kind of started to get used to the baby getting bigger. Maybe some of you would have liked it to have happened where, boom, you get pregnant one day and you give birth the next. No one's giving me an amen, Pastor Dan, but whatever. So, but he followed natural law where that baby grew over those 9 months and was delivered. I'll guarantee you Jesus was delivered perfectly on time, perfectly on time. In the fullness of time, the Bible said in Galatians, God sent forth his son, sent him into the earth to redeem mankind. Oh, yes, 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 yes. But here in Isaiah 7, verse number 14, the word Emmanuel, the Hebrew word, is Immanuel, okay? Meaning God with us, covenant God with us, or with us is the covenant-making God. He's with us. He is with us. Mary was this virgin who conceived, you know, the birth, and a lot of people get into error when they talk with people that have some science background when they call it, the scriptures speak of the virgin birth of Christ. Now, I've talked about it before, but virgin birth means that there was no seed involved, only an egg. And you can look up the definition of virgin birth. It's pretty simple. The scripture never says it was a virgin birth. It says Mary was a virgin. Because there was seed involved, and there was an egg involved, and it came from on high. A virgin birth is when there's just the egg, and they do something to the egg to make it reproduce. And you check it out. It's called a parthenogenic birth, and that's why they call it a virgin birth. The Bible never calls it a virgin birth. It says Mary was a virgin and conceived. And there is a difference. I had a scientist come up to me one time and say, you know, you're right. I never heard anybody preach that, but you're right. The Bible does not say that it was a virgin birth. It says Mary was a virgin. There's a difference. Let's be correct. Amen? See, when your wife or when your mother was pregnant with you, it took a seed and an egg to produce you. Right? Well, that's the way it works. I mean, we're not going to have a little sex talk here tonight, but the fact is that's the way it works. And, you know, there has to be the egg and the seed. In a virgin birth, there's just the egg. Okay, so Mary was a virgin, and that's what's important. Now, I have a cup up here tonight, a glass mug, if you will, and you can see it's empty, right? What are we going to do to get rid of this emptiness? What's that? Fill it up. Pretty simple, right? Pretty simple. You fill it up. You put the water into it, and you fill it up. Now, if... How many teaspoons in a tablespoon? Three? Okay. So, that would mean that there are 96 teaspoons in a 16-ounce cup, okay, fluid ounces, 16. So it's 6 teaspoons per ounce. 96 teaspoons, so she brought me a tablespoon, so now I'm having to recalculate. Oh, you brought one here. Oh, yes, all these plastic ones. Thank you, dear. Thank you, dear. So this is a teaspoon. So if I do, should we count them and do 96? Probably not, right? Probably not. I will. How do we get rid of the emptiness we put water in, correct? Water in gets rid of the emptiness. Now, where a lot of believers miss it, they experience the filling of the Holy Spirit, the power of God in their life. Things begin to, get better, and they feel like they're more full of the Lord than they've ever been. Somebody said, well, when you receive Jesus in your heart, isn't that as full as you can be? Well, I have found something out over the years that Christians leak. And by that, I don't mean that you lose God. But you have something to do with whether or not the presence of the Lord is active in your life. Have you ever turned away from Him for any period of time? Somebody said, well, I would never do that. When you were first saved, and maybe you got saved when you were a kid, and then as you grew a little older, things got you, kind of pulled you away from church. There are testimonies like that all the time of people that were serving the Lord and then pulled away. I was serving the Lord, I believed in Christ when I was raised as a Catholic. I believed in Him. But, in my years going up to the time where I actually realized what I needed to do and actually began to read the Bible and then was baptized in the Holy Spirit, there was a time when I walked in ways that were not so good. Now, I never got into the drugs. I guess alcohol is a drug, so in that respect. But, I told you I did some alcohol, drank some alcohol and stuff. But the fact is, once I got saved and began to serve the Lord, read the Word, get into the Word, got serious about my time with Him, I realized He was in me. That filling in my life where it had, kind of subsided and it felt like He would, remember on Sunday I was talking about like how it feels sometimes when God's further away? You remember that? And I told you He'll never leave you and never forsake you, right? We just talked about that. But that doesn't mean that you and I don't leave and forsake Him from time to time. And you can do that tonight if you so choose. I'm tired of living like that. I want to have some fun. Well, if you're not having fun as a Christian, you're not doing it right. Because if you're living your life as a believer, there's so much more fulfillment in being a believer than there is being a sinner and walking around or being, I'll tell you the worst, is a carnal Christian, a Christian who's trying to walk, the Word and the world, and they're straddling this fence, and eventually they slip and fall. You can't straddle the fence of 1 foot in the kingdom, 1 foot in the world, 1 foot in the things of God, 1 foot over here in the flesh. I mean, it's a balance act, and you ever try to walk along a fence? And if you slip, need I explain what happens if you slip? It's not a pretty sight. But here we go. So in order to get rid of the emptiness, all I needed to do was put some water in it, fill it up. I mean, it could be something else. But so in time, some of it can begin to leak out. Okay. And this is where Christians end up. They end up going, you know what? I used to feel like I was closer to the Lord than what I am now. And so I'm going to pull back into the Word. I'm going to repent of turning and going after the things of the flesh. And so in that time, it seems like, you know, I'm getting in the Word, and it's not an instantaneous, boom, dump it on you, and suddenly you feel all, you know, overflowed again. It can happen that way. What I have found for the most part, it's a building process. In time, we're talking about your faith now. We're talking about being realizing the presence of God in you. Not everybody realizes that the Lord lives and dwells on the inside of them. I mean, I'm talking about believers. I preached to a group of women one time at a Women's Aglow meeting, and I remember saying, how many are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus in here? And I knew a lot of those people were saved. I knew it. Not a one would raise their hand. And I was like, okay, wait a minute. Y'all don't. You broke the spoon, Pastor Dan. Oh, looky there. They come off so you can wash them. Imagine that. Now I knocked them out of order. Oh, well, whatever. Get on there. And so nobody would raise their hand. And so I said, now that was not a trick question. Well, we're not holy all the time. You'd think a bunch of old ladies would be holy. Then you, let me see what's in your purse. You know, you got some chaw in there, and you got a little bottle of something, you know. And, you know. Now, the mistake is thinking that they're being in right standing with God means you're always walking holy before him. Holiness is progressive. When you receive Christ into your heart, righteousness, the holiness that takes place on the inside is in your spirit, and that is instantaneous. Your spirit. Now you're in right standing with God. That's what righteousness is being in right standing. It's just kind of a simplified way to put it. You're in right standing with God. But your outward character may leak a little now and again. And you may not walk as holy every day. You might have lost your temper when somebody put their mail on your hood. I didn't lose my temper. I'm very, you know, happy to say I was pretty nice to this guy. You know, and I'm like, you got a problem. Ooh, I felt my, you don't know, I could be your problem. But anyway, it's so anyhow, but no, you're the holy walk is by choice. The holy walk is by choice, and so is the bouncy there, right there. So, on the inside, I'm holy in my spirit man, but sometimes the flesh tries to override the spirit man. You ever have that happen to you? Come on, anybody?
Not me, Pastor Dan.
I'm perfect. No, in the spirit, you're perfect. Regarding your victory over your flesh, everybody's in that. That's the walk. That's what we have to combat, the temptations that the enemy throws at you. So by simply filling the cup, you remove the emptiness, right? So there comes a point in time that you can fill it up. And let's say, because this is, we measured, this is a 16-ounce cup, that would be 96 teaspoonfuls right there. 96. So if I put one more in, 97, once we're right to the brim, it's going to do what? It's going to overflow, right? And that's really where we want to get to in our lives, of having his presence pouring out on a consistent basis. But that doesn't happen by happenstance, chance, or, well, when I feel like it, I'll do something in the Word. I'll get in the Word. No, no, no. This is a diligent approach to our lives that if, in fact, we're going to walk full of his presence in us, we're going to have to recognize the times when our blood pressure goes up. We're going to have to recognize the times when somebody says or does something that's going to cause you irritation, or a memory comes to you of something that somebody did, or an event that maybe happened 10 years ago. You know, your flesh is going to want to go back to those things. And so somebody said, well, how? I can't forget him. I can't forget him. I'm just human. That's right. We are human. But yes, you can come to a place where you fill your mind with the things of God. You renew your mind to the point that those things don't have the same easy inroads that they used to. I'll tell you, I have found over the years that the more word I put in, the more time I focus on the things of God and meditate on the things of God, the less opportunity is afforded the enemy to throw something into my thoughts. Now, you need to be careful what you look at, obviously. You got to be careful what you listen to. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Keep the word before you. Let it not depart from your mouth. Keep it in the midst of your heart. Those are all things we're supposed to do on a daily basis. Study to show yourself approved of the Lord. And that is run to the word. Every day run to the word. Every day start your day out in the word. So we can liken this to salvation. God is with us. He's with us. Salvation is when the emptiness that was in our lives disappeared. In other words, we had this God-shaped vacuum, and only God filling it up would satisfy us. Now, salvation is not the absence of evil. God didn't take the devil and say, you're not going to be in the earth anymore, and do away with all evil, did he? Salvation is not the absence of evil. Salvation, and really our fellowship with God, when it's brought to its fullness, is the presence of God replacing the emptiness. Even though there's evil around, the Bible says, greater is he that's in me or in you than he that's in the world. Amen? Jump over to Romans chapter 12. So I think that we need to look at this whole subject of our lives and how we're going to walk our lives and we're going to stay full, look at it more in the respect of not like, well, you know, I have to do this, 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 and this in order to remain walking holy before God. Don't focus on the sin, focus on the Lord. Don't give so much credence to the sin. I'm not saying that sin doesn't exist, it does. And if you sin, you have an advocate with the Father. Amen. If you confess your sin, he's faithful and just to forgive you of your sin and cleanse you of all that unrighteousness. That's for believers. That's not written to sinners. Because if it was, you'd have to confess every sin you ever committed to be saved. And guess what, Abby? You and I both would have missed them. We would have missed something, right? You remember that, me telling you that? I had this list of sins that they gave me when I received Christ. I'm going through, I'm listening. Okay, you need to repeat this, and you need to renounce all these sins. If you confess this before the Lord, he'll cleanse you of all this. And right, man, I'm listing off these. I couldn't pronounce some of them. Did I do that? Just say it, you might have. How could I commit adultery? I've never been married. You know what I'm saying? I've never done that. I've never done this. I've never done that. Well, just say them anyway. So they had me confessing divination, witchcraft. I'm like, I don't believe in witchcraft. I know it's real, but I don't partake. I never did, you know. Well, you know, seances. Yeah, I did go to a seance one time. My sister conducted it. You remember that? We had a tape recorder. Just the other day, we found a channel on our TV called Pluto. Y'all hear of Pluto? You know what that is? And they've got classic TV shows on there. And I said, Ann, when I was a kid, I used to watch this Mission Impossible. It's the real one with Peter Graves. I mean, the real one. You know what I'm talking about, right? Anybody remember that show? Okay. So we watched this. We watched a few episodes. And they always started off, you know, he gets the tape and then he plays it. And if you choose to receive the mission, you know, if you were killed or any of your team will deny that we ever knew you. Where's that effect? And then after it's done, they said, and he says, The tape will self-destruct in 5 seconds, and then it smokes, you know. Like, all right, I remember this, you know. So the tape recorder that my brother Mike got back when he was probably 16 years old, it would have been about 66, that was right around the time that show was going. I remember it had the little reels like that, and you fed it through there. Well, it had buttons right here. So we invited the neighbor boy over, and Kay's going to do a seance, you know. So she has this sheet over her feet, and he's sitting at the table. We all knew what she was doing. She had that tape recorder under her feet, and she recorded noises, like, ooh, you know, that kind of thing, like stupid stuff. She hits the button. You should have seen this kid. He was real dramatic anyway. I mean, he was a little older than me, but we were all kids. And she freaked him out. We didn't tell him for about a year because we were embarrassed to tell him. He got so scared, you know. It was probably more than that. Anyway, I had the privilege of leading him to the Lord. And I found out not that long ago that he passed away. He was a good friend of mine, you know. But he had received Jesus in his heart. I know he's in heaven today. And I praise God for it. But anyway, so they had me confessing all these things. They had me confessing witchcraft and this, that, and the other. But that's not, you know, what that verse is talking about. 1 John 1:9 is for Christians. The absence of evil in the earth, God never pulled evil out of the earth. Evil's in the earth. Did you realize that? He didn't say, okay, I'm doing away with the devil. I'll tell you one place the devil is not and never will be. And that's up there in heaven when we go to heaven one day and no more crying there, no more tears. He will be chained up in the everlasting darkness. And we praise God for that. But for now, he's here in this earth. He's called the God of this world. So salvation is really the presence of God in us, not the absence of sin. So he gives us the authority and the power to walk above sin. Can I hear an amen? In Romans 12, at the last verse of the chapter, reads, "Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good." I think we've looked at it the wrong way. I think we need to focus more on getting the word flowing in us and spend time with God. Don't focus on your frailties. Don't focus on your failures. Focus on how great God is. And when you do that, you'll be strengthened. You get into the word, okay? There's not a one of us in here tonight that don't have some areas of weakness in our life, whatever it may be. Everybody in here has a flesh. And so with that in mind, there's opportunities to fail. And so don't be so hard on people. I'm not saying condone sin. I'm not saying that we need to poo-poo it off and go, oh, well, you know, you cheated on your wife. Oh, well, bless your heart. That's just every man does it. Not every man does it. We're not going to do that. We're not going to say it's okay. We're not going to say any kind of sin is okay. What we're going to, but we're not going to play that self-righteous game either, where people are looking down their nose at each other. Because you that's without sin, you cast the first stone. You remember that? That still applies tonight. Please stand to your feet. It still applies. So I'm not going to enter that realm of judgmentalism. I'm not going to do that. What I'll do is focus on keeping my cup full. Focus on keeping my fellowship with the Lord warm and not let it grow cold. And allow myself to drift over into fleshly things and not stay hooked up with him. Yeah, well, that's your job. No, look. No, I was a Christian before I was a minister. Amen? Yeah. Come on, you guys with me or you not? Amen. So that comes first. My time with the Lord is important to me, and my fellowship with him matters. And that's the way we need to view it. Is, okay, I'm saved. That doesn't mean sin doesn't exist. It doesn't mean that sin's not going to attack you. It means that you fill yourself up with God. You continue to put the word in. You continue to let him have the preeminence in your life. Put him first. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these other things will happen in your life. Quit looking at the weaknesses in your life and start looking at the Lord. Get your eye, get your focus on him. Go to the word. Amen? And as you do that, watch, you'll gain strength. It's like your cup's getting full. Amen? Thank you, Jesus. Let's pray. Father, we thank you and praise you for this night. We give you glory and thanksgiving that as we head into a new year, Lord God, we're going to make this our practice that we focus on you. We'll focus on your presence. We'll focus on spending time with you. Oh, we're not going to push sin off on the side and say, well, you know, you understand. I just can't help. No. We're not going to do that. We will walk in accordance with your word. And if somebody sins, they can confess it before you, sir, receive your forgiveness and cleansing, and move on. The I've fallen and can't get up does not hold for us as believers. If you fell, confess it, get up in the name of Jesus, and move on and keep pushing on and growing in the things of God. In Jesus' name, can you say amen to that? Amen and amen. That's really where we need to be at and focus on, and not